Turn with me, please, to 1 Peter chapter 5. Just a few thoughts that perhaps could complete the hour, and I trust will be to the glory of God and to the encouragement of the people of God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now may the Lord add his blessing to what we have already heard and to the reading of these few verses before us. I want to notice a number of things that are linked with the path of the believer. We'll call it the Christian's path. First of all, it's a path that is fraught with testings from the evil one, the roaring lion, as he's called, Satan, presented to us here. A path in which we shall experience and do experience tests. Satan is the one presented as the one that will cause such or allow, cause such to be brought upon us. So there's first of all the Christian's path. I want to think of the Christian's portion. It's a portion that will experience, a path that will experience suffering. A portion in the midst of that path will be suffering while here. First Peter is full of suffering. And indeed, every child of God, they that will live godly in Christ Jesus, shall suffer persecution. And so there will be the afflictions, the tests. There will be suffering, the portion allotted us here. Thank God in the midst of that path there's a protection. And we're reminded of that protection in the words, the God of all grace. What provision? The God of every grace, every kind of grace, is there to meet the need of every believer. Then we have, following that, the power of the believer, that which will be our happy portion here, if leaning upon the arm of the sufficient one, strengthened with all might, fitted by the God of all grace. Then we have before us the Christian's progress, accomplishing something in us, perfecting us, or it's really the thought of completing, developing, fitting us in the very experiences of life such, thank God, is a work that will go on in the life of the exercised believer. Then we're reminded of the believer's praise, and that's the glory and honor that is due to the God of all grace. And I'm sure we have before us the believer's prospects suggested, and that of glory, a happy end for the believer. What a prospect. May the Lord help us just briefly to make a few passing remarks upon this very interesting closing of Peter's first letter, for I feel that Peter is one that seems to get down to earth, so to speak, and very often, like ourselves, with all his feelings, with all his shortcomings, enjoying from day to day the presence and blessing of the God that was his God. And so, first of all, we're reminded of the tests of life. We've been hearing about that already today. And indeed, not long upon life's pathway before we discover that Satan is a tempter and determined to destroy us if he can. The moment we're saved, he's lost us as far as possession is concerned. But he's not through with us. He's determined to hinder us on our Christian journey and spoil the Christian pathway, if it's at all possible. Alas, I'm afraid he has accomplished that in too many. But thank God it need not be. But nevertheless, we'll experience that. Paul knew much of that. He could remind us of the fact that He had desired to preach the gospel in certain places, but Satan hindered. Our blessed Lord experienced the testings of that one early in his life and his ministry here, when Satan sought to hinder him and to destroy and turn him aside if he could. But thank God, the Scriptures, the Word of God, always proved victorious. Have you not known something of the test of this one in your life? I think you have. If you're truly his, you'll have felt something of Satan's attacks upon you as a Christian, and you'll try his utmost to spoil it to the end of the journey. He doesn't give up. You remember with our Lord, after those threefold tests, we read he left him for a season, not forever, but doubtless to come back again at another time and in another way to hinder the progress and to spoil the accomplished redemption purpose in our blessed Savior. He's a mighty foe. Thank God there's one stronger than he. You'll notice he goes on to remind us not only of the fact that there is a mighty foe in the path of the believer, but we're reminded of the fact that as well there's a portion for the believer allotted them here. You may wonder at that. Many a Christian has thought when once they were saved, well, my troubles are over. Joy will be my portion till the end of the journey. I have naught to fear now, but it's not long before they begin to realize they're suffering in the path of the Christian. I wonder why he has allowed it. I doubt not one of the reasons is to keep us near to himself, to help us to realize the insufficiency of the arm of flesh and the need of simple dependence upon the God of all grace, as we read here. But nevertheless, there is suffering here. We read a great deal about suffering. We read of the slave and his suffering and encouragement to continue on, hoping that he might win the master. There's suffering by others experienced as well in this very wonderful letter. But thank God, there's one that's with us even in the hour of suffering, an arm to lean upon. And although suffering may be your lot, where do we get suffering from, does someone ask? Very often it's the one that we're working with, or the one perhaps that's nearest to us, and they can at times try us and bring across our path those experiences that we never thought would befall us here. The Lord has allowed it, and without doubt it's a purpose in view. Suffering is allowed in a world such as this. I notice in 1 Peter, there are 7 aspects of suffering, a very beautiful subject to meditate upon. But we're reminded of the trials that will be ours upon life's journey, allowed to suffer affliction here, and may it prove to be for the glory of our God. Then we suggested to you, following the path of suffering, was the fact that there was protection in the midst of such a path. What is the protection of the believer in the midst of testing and trials of life? Thank God, there's grace. Grace given for every occasion, no matter what it may be that is allowed to cross my path, sufficient grace for the hour of need. What is grace? Perhaps one of the simplest ways of describing grace is the thought of divine favor. I don't really know of a better way of describing it than that. To be brought into divine favor, to know something of the presence of the God of all grace, present with me in each hour of the day, each mile of the way. Thank God, there's sufficient grace for every need. The God of all grace, every kind of grace. Grace, whether it be in the path of suffering. Grace, if it be in a matter of seeking to live for him in a dark world. Grace to speak a word in season to those that are in need of uplifting, or perhaps the unsaved, the sinner. Thank God, he's the God of all grace. And there's sufficient, there's protection for the believer in this dark world of sin. Then there's the power. And oh, thank God for the power he strengthens. Who is it that does the strengthening? Why, it's the very hand of our God. By, doubtless, the Spirit of God. Perhaps, oft times, through the Word of God. A word in season, how good is it? Just seems to lift the drooping spirit in the hour of need. Ah, there's one beloved brother and sister that loves you dearly. He's very present in every moment of need. And he's the God of all grace to strengthen you, to fit you, to develop you in that path down here, that something may be for God in your life. We've been hearing much today about a life lived for God.
a life wasted, a life of shipwreck, because of the neglect of a purpose in heart as Daniel had. Thank God, there's one indeed that is sufficient for every need. He is the God of all grace. I want to think for a moment of the purpose he has in life for you. He has an object in view. Those very experiences of life are intended to develop. It doesn't matter what sphere you may pursue. You can look at nature. You can look at everything around you in regard to the wondrous creation that we can behold. And we can find in it problems, difficulties, things that are perhaps all unsolvable as far as man is concerned. But thank God there's a divine purpose in it. I remember reading many years ago of a certain servant of the Lord sitting in a shaded place in a garden meditating on the Word of God. And in his meditation that morning, he happened to notice at his feet or near at hand a butterfly drawing itself from its cocoon. And he wondered why it had to work so hard and so long just to extract itself from the cocoon. He had gone for lunch, and when he came back, the first thought that filled his mind was, how is my little creature doing? And he looked again upon the object struggling there, perhaps a little further out from the cocoon, but still unfreed from its captivity. And he thought to himself, surely there's some mistake here. He went and got a pair of very thin-edged shears, and he snipped the cocoon a little so that the creature could withdraw itself more freely. But he said, the moment I had freed it from its captivity, I understood my blunder. I thought myself wiser than its creator. The creator had designed it so as that creature withdrew from the cocoon, it was strengthening its wings. It was forcing the liquid from the body into the wings so that it could bear itself above. But now, a helpless creature, it could only drag itself on the ground, soon to be trapped to death, to die there. I have ruined the little creature's life. My dear brother and sister, there's not an ache, there's not a pain, there's not a sorrow has crossed your path. There's not one unpleasant experience that they're allowed to go through. But there's a hand that knows all about it. There's a heart that feels for you. And there's one that's designed to develop in that Christian life of yours something for God. Thank God indeed, then there is a purpose in every turn of life's way. I want to think of the God, the path of praise. That's what God intends for the believer here. And we have that suggested to us in the fact that he's the one that is the God of glory. To him, verse 11 says, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Oh, Christian, this is what God wants of that life of yours, that there might be glory brought to him. He saved you for a purpose. No man liveth to himself. We're not here just to pass the time in however way we might get through life, whether good or ill. We're here to bring glory to the God that has made us, whose we are. He intends that should be in each of our lives. I wonder what he's getting out of this life of mine. We've been reminded of going back over the past and considering. I think most ends of the year, I'm reminded of the custom of every business that is of any size. In fact, every business of today is compelled to take stock at the close of the year, or at least every year. Going over the past to find out what progress there has been. How is our standing? Are we going forward or backward? Oh, you might say, I would be ashamed to occupy myself with my feelings. Not occupying ourselves so much with our feelings as remembering that he's brought us here for a purpose. He intends there should be some increase in this life of mine. Have I learned a little about my Lord in the experiences of life? There's no chance, you know. Have I learned a little about the need of grace and wisdom and help in the path he has allotted me here? Thank God. There's every grace to be found. We're reminded in Psalm 1 today already of the blessed fact that the psalmist knew what it was to be by the river. They are presenting or pushing or, so to speak, pressing the roots down into that river. Earlier, or rather later in the Psalms, we're reminded again of a river. There is a river. The streams thereof make glad the city of our God. I do believe that there's in that river of supply that will meet every need, and thus producing glory to the God of heaven in the experiences of life allowed to cross my path. He's worthy of praise. You remember chapter 4 of John. Some of the greatest scenes come from some of the darkest pictures of our Bible, and that's one of them. There are a number there. We're reminded of that poor woman, that outcast as far as society was concerned. We remember the Lord is teaching her some interesting things, or teaching us some interesting things. But I was thinking of that one especially. God is looking for something in these lives of ours. Worship is what He saved us for. He intends that we should be worshipers. It's His desire that we should be presenting back to God again that He's worthy of. He hasn't just saved us to live as we please. He hasn't just saved us to even win souls for Christ. Blessed in all as that glorious work is, He saved us that He might be glorified in that life of yours. He wants the honor and praise that He's worthy of. And so there's praise or glory to be brought to that blessed God for not only the salvation of the soul, but His preserving, keeping hand upon us. Just for a moment, shall we notice the prospecting view? It doesn't end in suffering. It doesn't end, my dear Christian, in a bed of suffering and sickness, though that may be the path you're called to endure before taken home or before the Lord comes. It's glory that awaits the believer. Is that not something to fix my eye on? Is that not something to keep before me the blessed prospect of one day being in His own glad presence? Oh, just to see that face, just to gaze upon that one that redeemed me, for a moment to look upon that one who has made me His, who suffered, yea, whose face was marred more than any man's. And yet that face so beautiful and glorious, as in His glad presence we shall see Him. What a moment that will be. Surely, earth's sad story will end in glory. And for us, it'll be in His own presence with His fullness of joy. And at His right hand where there are pleasures forevermore.